And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo, and as promised, we have in studio with us from Miller Foods, Inc., Cal Miller. Cal, welcome to Front
and Center. Good afternoon. I know I'm usually in the morning here, but Dan, great to see you. We're going back since the late 80s when I first met you with you and Brad. Seems like yesterday.
It does seem like yesterday. Where's the time going?
That's what we all wonder.
Yeah. I wanted you in studio, and you've been in this studio many, many times, but I wanted you in studio today to talk about the history of Miller Foods, your family, how it all got started, because I think it is a fascinating story, and obviously you run a successful business. So how did it all get started?
Well, it started back in 1945, 46, when my parents first met, and that's when it started, actually.
Right after the war.
Right after the war, and my grandfather had passed away, and they moved up from Terryville to Avon. They used to, my father was a, drove a beer truck. And drove milk and, you know, working farmers. They always had farms. My mother grew up on a dairy farm. So true hardworking farmers. So that's the beginning. How did you grow up?
Well,
Where did it start?
It started for me when I was a senior in high school, and this was long before they had radio stations in schools. And I went to the local radio station and said, I want to be in radio. And they took a shot on me, and I've been in radio ever since. Can you believe that?
Wow, and you do a great job.
Well, you're
so
kind.
You had a dream from then.
Yep.
And I'm sure my parents had, because that's what they knew. So the 50s came, and they moved up to Avon on the farm and started raising chickens and selling eggs door to door. Now, I don't know if many of you remember way back then, but there was the egg lady, there was a milkman, and the two never met. You could only buy eggs from your egg lady and milk from your milkman. So in the, about 55, 56 neighbors of ours, who actually their grandson runs a pick and patch now in Avon, had 300 turkeys that he worked for Worthmore Grain. And at that time, the Worthmore Grain Company came out with a policy that if you raise turkeys, you couldn't also, you're selling them, you're competing with your customers. So they gave my parents the turkey business, and that's how Miller Turkey started in the turkey business. And as we all know, throughout life, things change, and stores were starting to come in. So our chicken and our egg business, we were selling now to a store called Fitzgerald's because people were working and you didn't deliver eggs door to door. So things happen in life for a reason, even though sometimes we wonder the whys of it. So that's how it kicked in the turkey business. And I'm sure many of you out there through your lives are thinking there are turning points. The next turning point was we raised 14,000 birds at one point.
Wow.
And
all in Avon?
All in Avon, yes. And actually, my first accolade was I was a head gizzard opener. And the one and only head. Now, many of you have not heard about a gizzard opener.
What is a gizzard opener?
well, a gizzard opener, the gizzard is the stomach of the turkey.
Right.
Actually, they have two digestive tracts. When it comes, I don't know if you want to know this or
not. Yes, I do.
But it's interesting to know. The turkey, after it eats, it comes in underneath the gobble section where the neck goes into it, and they pre-digest it. And then it goes through the digestive tract. And the gizzard was all part of the organ meat for the turkey. But these are little tips in life. Who else is going to tell you these things? You know, it's got to make a little fun of it. So anyways, the government came in and they were changing rules and regulations. Right. So it became the federal and the state government. You had to comply under federal regulations. And my father was a hot-headed Irishman. And he was screaming, and his arms were going up in the air. And my mother was saying, Earl, don't worry. You know, don't have a heart attack over this. And so we had to comply with regulations, which we ended up going to USDA for processing. Because the other ones were, it was just too expensive to what the government was going to make you do to go into slaughtering. So that's how we got into farming, custom farmers that raise our birds. So even though we have a few now at the holiday time, we were forced by the government to make different changes in rules and regulations.
But you made the changes.
You had to, or you're out. And you were saying, you know, we've always tried to think ahead, and with the many changes that coming, they came about from being a chicken farmer, raising the chickens and eggs to the turkeys. Now, all of a sudden, we're a processor. And at the same time, we had several hundred turkeys left over. And actually, my niece's father, Chuck, and my mother went out selling this boneless turkey roast. And that's how our Miller turkey roast started, and the beginning of our turkeys, and because we had to pay our bills. How are we going to pay our bills?
Right.
And back then, if we all remember, Thanksgiving and Christmas were the only times you ate turkey.
Right.
You couldn't get turkey any other time of the year. It's like oranges. You could only get those at certain times of the year. So what do you remember about as a kid, Dan, that you could only get at certain times, maybe?
Well, I mean, like you said, turkey, eggnog. I remember you could only get eggnog at certain times. You talk about the milkman, and I remember the milkman actually delivering the milk to our house. You didn't go to the store to buy milk.
Right.
The milkman came to your house, and I particularly remember, in our case, our milkman was Freddie the Milkman.
See?
I remember this to this day.
Yeah.
And he was so kind. He actually walked into our house and put the milk in the, I don't want to say icebox, put the milk into the refrigerator.
Right.
I'm not that old. He put the milk into the refrigerator.
Right.
And then, as you mentioned, the government comes in, all these rules and regulations.
Refrigeration.
Changing the, all of that,
so
the dairy
on.
Industry.
Yes.
But it got to the point where it put the local dairy out of business, and it was absorbed by a larger dairy in Torrington, and it was Torrington Creamery. But the Torrington Creamery, they gave you a great service, but they weren't going to bring the milk into your refrigerator. They had a, we had a milk box outside our door, and they would put the milk in the milk box. And then it got to the point where they didn't deliver milk anymore. You had to go to the store to buy milk. So those are some of the things I remember.
And but you still remember Freddie.
Freddie, to this, I can tell you what he looks like, what he, you know, the container that he had to carry the glass.
I've got a couple at home because I was in
quart bottles.
Right, yes. And do you remember the bottles that, actually it was beveled, because before pasteurization, the cream would rise to the top.
Right.
So there was a, like a dollop loop where the actual cream was, so you could use that. But, you know, Dan, when you say that, and we can all talk about our history, and not to bore people, but what you have to realize, it goes back certain things to tradition. And that's what has kept Miller Foods in tradition, is because people have been coming to our place, even if it's they come once a year to pick up their turkey. Although, you know, we have our holiday tent that's always a great family adventure. People have been coming. We could go through people 50-some years. But now with the tradition of our natural pet food, which has evolved from boning out turkeys, trying to, in our business, you have to make that nickel squeak. You know, there's not a lot of profit. You know, you work hard. It's a hard-working business, and so you want to utilize everything.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned this, because there's the notion among certain people that, well, you own your own business and you're making a bundle. But like you said, the profit margin is thin, isn't it?
And when you have a $7,000 electric bill and you have the government sending you invoices, or the state because of our unemployment people out, and sometimes people will say, why stay in Connecticut? Because our heart is here. Our heart is in Connecticut. And this is what we have. And I know many of you out there probably consider about, where do I want to go? Unlike our ex-governor who decided should take off on us. But
I love Connecticut. I mean, obviously there are things we'd like to see changed about Connecticut, but I love Connecticut.
Right.
You know, there's so many advantages to the state. You've got the mountains, you've got the ocean, you've got the four seasons. I can go on and on. Connecticut has a lot of good going for it. They need to boast it about it a bit more. They need to brag about the state a bit more instead of always talking about the negative. But that's not why we're here. I want to talk about you. How did you, what made you stay in the family business? What motivated you?
Always working there. I've never worked anywhere else.
This has been your only job.
My only job, yes. I've never... I did deliver books one time for $10, but he never paid me in college, I might add.
Where'd you go to school?
UConn. I graduated UConn, and we always had the family business. When you're in a family business, there is this... it's a second heart you have. It's very interesting because it can be turmoil and different personalities and you're working with your relatives, but somehow there's this second heart that you have that's for the business. And, you live with that and with a respect for hardworking and caring and customer and being the Freddies.
Right.
We're the Freddies of the world. We're the Omas. We're the Millers. And what kept us in there was change and survival. You're working together, too, so that, things happen throughout when all of a sudden you become a food distributor and you get quite large and a lot of trucks. And then, as you see, we're before talking about Amazon and how that's changing the world we live in and how the bigger and bigger we're getting bigger and squishing the smaller ones in. And then you had to change and reinvent yourself. And that became another time when we started with our Oma's Pride. So when you say thank you for being successful, we don't. We think it's our second heart always working, thinking ahead. It was the Omas. After Omas, it's going to be Capri and Tanner. They're in the e-commerce future. You have to almost keep reinventing
yourself.
Absolutely
right. You are so right about that.
You know, you run into glitches with different personal things that happen. People die, and there's not enough insurance around. And then you got to just hope for that it all works out and somehow working out in life and continuing that second heart.
But now you graduated from UConn.
Yes.
Could you have pursued another field?
I'm sure I could have.
Did you want to pursue
it? It's interesting, and I didn't know because I'd never not known anything. Even in college, I came home.
But what was your major?
Sociology.
Okay.
You know, so. Because I wanted to. I like people, and nowadays people have more direction, and they have. You were pursued it yourself. Other people might have had mentors out there. I had a working family, and all we ever did was work together. Right. So it was basically assuming, even though I graduated college, you're going to work in the business. So it wasn't that the opportunities were there. It was just
it was
that's
assumed
what
you
happens.
Were going to work in the business after you graduated from
UConn. Yeah, that's and without and maybe other interests or it was how fate had it. Mm-hmm. You wonder
I mean,
how...
did you want to pursue something else, or just because...
I didn't know anything else. All I did was
But you went to college. You were exposed to a wider world.
You know, I'm going to be 68, and you think back then, I'm sure in life, if there were turning points, you know, what would have been a turning point in your life?
No, I've had several. I mean, one of them was when I pursued a career broadcasting professional baseball. I had been writing for a newspaper. I'd left broadcasting... and was writing for a newspaper. I loved sports, and there was an opening for a sports writer's job in Winsted, Connecticut, the Winsted Citizen. And so I wrote sports for them, but my passion was always to broadcast professional baseball. And I found out that there was going to be the opportunity to broadcast for a minor league team in Kinston, North Carolina. And the deal was you also had to drive the team bus. Well, one of my jobs when I was going to school was to drive the bus. I knew how to drive a bus. I knew how to drive a school bus. Never drove a coach, but I knew how to drive a school bus. And I said, well, this is me. So what if I have to drive the bus? I wanted to broadcast baseball so badly, I applied for the job, demonstrated that I could drive a bus, and they hired me. Of course, I had never driven a double clutch standard shift before. I knew how to drive a standard shift.
But a double clutch.
I didn't know how to drive a double clutch and didn't realize until I got there.
I can
and
still
got
see that
job.
Shift down the floor.
Yep. I didn't realize that it was a double shift, but I learned quickly. And I could drive. It was an old 4500 GMC was the model. It was manufactured, I think, in the 1940s, or the 60s. Here, this was in the early 80s now. So I'm driving this bus, learned how to drive a double shift, and to this day, if you put me behind the wheel with a double shift, I could do it. That's what I, but again, it was the passion I wanted to broadcast professional baseball so badly that it also meant driving the bus. All right, I'll drive the bus. So it was a turning point. It was a breaking out of your comfort zone, too,
to go
to North Carolina.
Right.
So, I mean, those are just some of the many turning points. Then I came back to the area, got a job at the local Torrington radio station, the affiliate, and then the industry was changing. And the company at the time, which owned WDRC, then bought WSNG, another turning point. And it's put me here for the last 20-something odd years.
What?
Got the chance to meet and work and become friends with Brad Davis.
And baseball, too.
Baseball and so many other things. So, like you said, life is strewn with turning points. But the idea is to have the ability to recognize those turning points and try to go with it and see that as an opportunity rather than just saying, well, no, I better not. I'm a big person in believing you have to break out of your comfort zone in order to go to the next level.
You're right. And that's what it is, whether it's knocking on the door or I had a very strong and respected mother, Oma. As a matter of fact, we named our pet food after her.
I was
Oma's
going to
Pride.
Ask you where that name
yes,
came from.
Yes, my niece Capri would always call her Oma and Pa. And that's how we came up with our natural pet treats. My husband, Sam, we're trying to figure out different names and so on. And the O paws because Capri paw. And that's how things all have meaning.
Right.
And it's always been a survival mode, too, and with changes going on. I mean, again, it was another government change that came into play in the industry because we used to grind hamburger, cut steaks for institutions, and then they came in with different HACCP programs. So someone, it was an opportunity, someone came in and wanted to know, can you make this, blend this, this, and this? We had our vegetables for our food service, the quality vegetables. We had our natural turkey bones and so on. And my sister had a sick dog at the time. Sandy was very instrumental in getting Oma's Pride going because her dog, Harley, at that time, was constantly back and forth to the vet with hot spots and health issues, and making this raw natural diet made it healthier, not on medication and so on. And it was the beginning. People liked the product, and it was a lot of time word of mouth. Now word of mouth is on our phone,
right?
Under the message, yeah. Or you know, through the internet.
I remember when you introduced the pet products.
Yes.
I remember that. I remember you came in this studio and introduced
right.
it. I'll never forget that. And I was telling you before, it has kept our cat alive for many years. Our cat is 13 years old, and I maintain the reason the cat is still alive today is because we religiously feed our cat Omas, religiously, as you know.
Right. And it is true. And with the health difference, Dan, with the Oma's Pride, what are some of the key points with that? And putting him on the spot, because cats generally, they're true carnivores. Now, I was talking with Sandy, who runs our deli there, and your wife comes in and buys these ground turkey necks, which are also awesome for your dogs, too. But it has softer bones in it. And it keeps their teeth clean. It helps with the hairballs. They drink less water, so the cat urine smell is different. It's less, and they...
And all this is true, by the way, because we're living proof of it in our house with our cat.
The eyes, the hairballs, and so on. And you get similar characteristics with their dog. And since, too, we've come out with more complete food, both raw, and then we do a lot more with freeze-dried, because of the convenience people are looking for.
Now,
is
the pet food industry as regulated as the food industry?
Getting that way, yes.
Yeah.
Because years ago, you, Dan, could make your food in your sink at home. We're one of the few facilities where we have a USDA inspector in there. We buy USDA food. Our beef is American beef. That is not a very fatty beef that a lot of people, even they, you and I eat, could eat it. And so, but what's gone on? Unfortunately, a few years ago, they buckled the raw with the cooked line, and It's like a yin and yang.
Yeah.
So the government, again, thank you, Uncle Sam, another change. And when we're out there, again, there's more turning points, what is going on in people's lives in the world. And this is why, you know, throughout the years, whether it's been the turkeys, the chickens, and my mother had a transportation business, Oma's, that you come from. And when you mentioned what, you know, what did you pursue? I had working family. We worked 7 days a week.
Right.
It was a farm. You know, my mother was a worker, yet she was a mother because, you know, she had her transportation, but she would deliver eggs. And so, and my father delivered milk and we had the turkey. So it's interesting in sitting here. I don't go back a lot of times and think on the whys of life, but it's always being active and busy. And I remember
you didn't look at it as work, though.
You
right?
didn't know it's what you knew.
But you must have loved it.
I love people, it was good.
And you're in the people
and
business.
And I love people, and I love pets. And we couldn't get too friendly with the turkeys or chicken, but other than that, it was good. But that's where your stock come from. When you know, there's some people they grow up at the country club every day, and that's okay. That's what they know,
right?
And that's great. And they're happy, and I was as happy, you know, doing that because I was around people and liking it. And it was your work, you accomplish it. But also there was a guilt feeling of not working when you'd want to take a week off a year, and your father would say, "You mean you want to go on vacation?"
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You grow up, So that's how, and the next evolution is going to be with e-commerce, as we all know. How many of us out there have ordered online? Now you want to order online Omas or the Opaws, where our pet treats now, we're shipping all over the country and actually all over the world.
Yeah, I want to get into that. We've got a news break coming up, so I want to get into that, how technology is changing things. But just as an aside, I read on Cyber Monday, 70% of the online orders were placed by a person's smartphone.
Wow.
And forget about going online with a laptop computer or a tablet. With a smartphone, 70% of the orders. So when you talk about e-commerce and how things are changing,
right,
that's it. And when you talk about the turkeys, remind me when we come back following the news about not getting too close to the turkeys. I might have told you this story, but remind me if I haven't, and I'll explain to our audience the story about Tom the turkey.
Tom the turkey.
This is a true story.
I'm waiting to hear this one. Thank you, Dan.
All right. Coming right back with Cal Miller from Miller Foods. You are listening to Front and Center. I'm Dan Lovallo. News is next. And welcome back to Front and Center, brought to you by Frontier Communications. I'm Dan Lovallo. Cal Miller, Miller Foods, in studio today. And just talking about the history of her family-owned business. Now, you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister, Sandy.
Is she in the business with you?
Oh, yes, yes. We each own equal shares in it. And she's always been a very hard worker, very smart, and very hard worker.
How do you interact? How do you get along? I mean, you've survived all these years. It must work.
And that's just what I want to say.
Good.
It works because it's out of a respect issue of working together. And you know what? We've always had the big picture in mind. And that's what's made the difference. And I think having a strong mother, as you and I were talking about it, that has made the difference in the situation.
No, you're always able to look at the big picture, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
Is that what you see in family businesses?
Well, I mean, the family businesses that work, but I mean, there's a history of family businesses, particularly if you study the wine industry. The Mondavi brothers, they ended up at each other's throats and they broke up and they went their separate ways. So it doesn't always work, I guess is my point, but obviously you and your sister have been able to make it work.
Right. We've survived. At times you just survive with the changes of, again, as we were speaking about before, whether, you know, it's the government regulations or how we were talking about, you know, how'd you get in the transportation business?
My because father that was part of the business.
That was part of the business.
Yeah.
You know, Sandy is an awesome cook. I would help my father on the farm, and Sandy is a tremendous cook. she would make dinner for us. So she really, you know, you participate in different ways. And even though our personalities might be different, we always, and Capri would always say that, you know, we always had the same grounding. We always had the same ethics within it. And that's how it would survive. But we're talking about how, again, another, how the little changes in that go on. My father was a bus driver, and I'd sit on the heater, so I knew exactly what Dan was talking about when he was double shifting.
Double clutch, right?
Yeah, yeah, that bus that time. And at the same time, when my father was a bus driver, Mr. Guarneri in town needed a couple of students brought up to Burlington. So he said to my mother, "Hey, you toots, you got a station wagon. Why don't you do that in between your egg run?" And that's how the transportation business started. And again, we all pooled together, and we all worked together. And you know, there's different people have different attributes that can help the company within it. And she was very progressive in the dog world. And she will tell you that she loves dogs. So I'm sure there's many of us out there that love our pets more than people. And so with that, we had a woman who was at Debbie Zappia was down for, we had a conference, about 40-some people. She's number one in the world in this dog activity called Schutzen. And she was saying how Sandy was very, when she first met her, "What the heck are you using that garbage food for? You got to buy our Omas, you know, because your dogs will be healthier, stronger. The muscles will get stronger. The teeth are better. It's going to be calmer," and so on. So each of our personalities, you look at a Christmas tree, all the branches are different, but it makes a beautiful tree.
That's right.
And that's the same way as in a family business or any business. Whether it's family or not, it's in working together. And, yeah, Sandy has, I've worked with her over the years. Even though our personalities are different, we have always stayed together for the bigger picture of what was going on. A lot of time it was for survival when, you know, things happen and there's, you know, all these taxes because your parents have died and there's no insurance because people back then didn't believe in insurance.
That's right.
So you say, "Hey, we got to pull together, and we got to do this." Or like you say, with the Mondavi brothers,
they split. Now yours and your children and Sandy's children, are they involved in the business?
Capri, who is here with us, she's involved, and my son Tanner is involved. Our daughter Camlin was involved for about, well, she grew up in the business like Capri did. But she recently is trying another adventure. So she's had some different things going on. And that's the whole thing, and realizing it's okay. It's okay. Unlike how maybe your generation, my generation, there was a double heart, too. But you've got to let life changes.
That's right.
The same way with the radio, how we've talked about, you know, and
I tell my family, it's my favorite line, and every time I use this line, they roll their eyes, "Oh, here he goes again." But I remind them, the only constant in life is change.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only constant.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be able to adjust, or you're going to be left in the dust. It's as simple as that.
Right.
Tom the Turkey. Let me tell you, Tom.
Well, let's hear about Tommy the Turkey.
My grandfather, this was on my father's side, one Thanksgiving decided that he was going to raise a turkey, and then they were going to eat the turkey for Thanksgiving. And my father came from a big family. He had a brother and five sisters, so there were seven in total. So they raised the turkey. What do you think happened? The kids got close to the turkey, right?
You can't get close to that bird.
And that's just what happened. But my grandfather came from Italy. Good old Italian.
Chop, chop.
You bet. And so now it comes time to eat Thanksgiving. My aunt, God bless her, she still tells the story to this day. She said they all gathered around the dinner for Thanksgiving meal. They couldn't eat the turkey. They couldn't eat the turkey.
You can't get personal.
That's it.
That's the thing. You can't look them in the eyes.
Yep.
You can't do
that.
You're
right.
You know.
So when you said before about turkeys, you can't get close to them.
You can't get close to them.
There's Exhibit A. And
exactly.
They couldn't have their Thanksgiving
meal.
Well,
and you have to realize, too, that our life cycle is, it's how it is. And nowadays, we all look at things differently. There was a reason for it. You know, the turkeys, you'd need it for food. You would use the feathers for stuffing your pillows or, you know, using for fly fishing. The things back then had everything had a purpose.
That's right.
You know, that we should have learned it from the Indians years ago, that what we do and so on has a purpose. And when you're talking about that, as far as there's so many people that we come into at the holiday time, and the best time of the year, holiday, personally to me, is Thanksgiving. One, because it's Thanksgiving. We do a lot back in Avon for our... we love... There's certain situations,
well,
certain things we do.
Well, you set up the big tent, don't you?
Yeah, but that's just part of it. Yeah. It's the events we have, the meals we share, the tradition that I love that, you know, we do together there. And it is about that. And when you're a big company, a lot of times it's just about the bottom line. And yes, we all need that. But also, what's the difference you're going to make? How are we going to affect people's lives? Yeah, we say the big tent and all that and labor. And as everybody knows, it's nothing is free in life. But we continue it because we are affecting thousands and thousands and thousands of lives, whether it's people coming to the tent or buying from the family Big Y store or the local independents that buy our turkeys. It's more about, and it's such a great way to say thank you, everyone out there, for supporting Millers and Omas, because we do really appreciate it. Sandy, myself, Sam, Capri, Tanner, Cam, and all of our employees, they're very hard workers. You know, from the master boners that are boning the turkeys out. You know, I always call them artists with a bone, because it does take pride.
Absolutely. There's an art to that. There's an absolute art to that. And you're so correct when you say that. One of my dear friends for years owned a store in Torrington, Carbone's, and he was just...
Oh, yeah, George Carbone. Yeah. I remember him.
There you go. That was his uncle.
Yeah. George was a buyer for Stop and Save's
about
35
right.
years
yep.
ago.
And this Tony Ranzullo, people in Torrington know Tony. He's an
uh-huh.
icon, and he sold the store, but he still works there. And I used to watch him at work. It's an art to do that.
It really is. It is.
And if anybody doesn't think so, then I would challenge him to try it.
Right. And there is a lot of, you know, hands-on and physical labor involved. And some things that we do, and again, Sandy was very instrumental in this, too, is we hire a lot of second-chance people. And a lot of companies, a lot of, whether you're big or small, don't want to do it. And we do try to give people second chances, because we know that's what life's about.
That's right.
And that is something that our company, you know, does do. I sell this, we sell this exclusive private school. They buy our turkey roast, boneless. We do custom cuts for them. And I spoke with him yesterday, and he wants to know how has me purchasing our school from you, because we're socially committed too to smaller companies and so on. How is my purchasing affecting you? And so I said, Mike, I'm gonna go up and see him next week. I'll get a letter going and so on. And I'm thinking, one, we had a woman whose husband passed away who needed more hours. She's gotten more hours because of this. We got to hire some extra second chance people. And then also we, you know, fortunately made a little, so we're putting it back in. We're doing our lunchroom over with that, and our bones from the natural birds, because we don't do any additives or preservatives with our Miller products.
That's important to know.
It is.
By the way.
It is. And we've come out with a new sausage, turkey sausage, and our smoked drumsticks. But the point I'm trying to say is we're trying to stay within the community and help the community. And it is so nice to know that there are companies out there and exclusive schools and so on that care not only about, yeah, they want the best product, but how am I buying from you, Dan?
Right.
How am I buying from you? How can I make a difference? Mm-hmm. And this is where our tradition
local, right?
Well, and a lot of times people say that, but it's BS, personally, a lot of times. I'm sorry, I'm putting it straight out there.
Well, good. We want
you know,
it straight.
People say that, but, you know, you talk the talk, do you walk the walk? That's personal opinion. But what I'm getting back to is how the generation coming up is looking at more than just you're making a delivery, I want good product. Why am I buying from you? How am I making a difference buying your product, and what is that going on within your company, and how is
it
affecting?
You're talking about return on investment, so
well,
to speak.
You know what? Years ago, I know our financial guys would say, yes, it's about the dollars. Now, also, it's about socially. How am the dollars I spending with you, how are they making a difference in other people?
Okay.
You know, not that, you know, people are gouging out the companies, and maybe, you know, you hear these, I mean, we all don't have to go there with these hundreds of thousands of dollars as consultants and so on that people make with, and all you do is have to read the paper or, you know,
that's
listen,
right.
I'm not mentioning any names. We all know who that is.
Yep.
But these people want to know how make it, oh, you know, we're putting a new lunchroom in. We're giving people more hours. We're helping second chance
So you're putting a new
people.
Lunchroom at Miller Foods?
Yeah, we're doing it over, you know, when this, I'm talking about this particular school system
right.
that wants to know locally, like, you know, I'm buying yeah. from this special product.
Right.
Have I made a difference in your company
right.
is what he wants
mm-hmm.
to know.
Okay.
And the answer is yes, with great appreciation, because we are passing it along, doing a little update in the building. We're giving people more hours. A woman whose husband died, who there was no insurance and so on, needs to work more. She drives an hour to work.
Wow.
And so, yes, and then you know, naturally the quality. And then on the other end, we have too, because recycling is a big, big part of everyone's
right.
life. Now, our bones, our natural turkey bones, except the large standing ones, get recycled into our natural pet food. So we keep our costs lower for that, because we, you know, we're making that nickel squeak
right.
for us. And, you know, at the same time, trying to make a living for our 20
now you're in,
six
you,
employees
yeah, 26,
that we have.
Okay. Now, you're also in the food distribution business, right?
We are.
But I see your trucks all over. Do you have a particular geographic area? Will you distribute all over?
Well, what is interesting with that is the food, as a food distributor, we still are one, but we sell to some of the larger companies because of what's going on in the industry. So an awesome family company right up the street here, Hartford Provision. Right up here off of Route 5. And we're fortunate enough that they sell our natural turkey roast, our natural turkeys, and they're, again, supporting local, and they make a commitment. They make a commitment. We do sell some other large companies. You know, but these people are making a commitment. They talk the talk and walk the walk. You know, so...
But again, that's another aspect of your business. That's another dimension of your business where you've got to worry about regulation. You've got to worry about maintenance. Those vehicles have to be maintained. All of that is part
right.
of the overall package, right?
Right, right. And we do also, with our pet food now, we deliver, whoops, sorry, to several states ourselves.
Really?
In that, yes. So we
now,
do.
Can you order online?
That's the key, everybody. Sit back, relax, don't get stressed in the traffic jams and at those stoplights and you know, waiting for somebody to take your money. Order online. Miller Foods, or you can order your turkeys online or your geese this year or whatever. And but the main thing is the pet food. So we, before we left, Capri and I, there was someone in the store, a mother. It happens to be a mother of a policeman, and they buy our food. And she bought him a beautiful several hundred dollar gift certificate for, you know, for the canine dog. And so these are opportunities that you can have, and the e-commerce online. So if you have somebody out in Seattle they usually send a gift to, please try our Opa's Pet Treats out there. We have a very nice online ordering system.
But
and
again,
my nephew, oh, one thing I didn't want to say. Of course, e-commerce, we got our, Nick is awesome. He's my great nephew. He's Capri's son, and he heads up our e-commerce. But he's not in Avon. He's out of Philly.
Wow.
So he's working online out there, and, you know, he's an expert in that. And fortunately, you know, it's a growing, it's a progressive, and it's new eyes and new youth into the business.
But again, you had to, through the new eyes, through new youth, what you had to do was put the infrastructure in place in order to deliver the product to wherever.
Exactly.
Correct?
And the thing is, Dan, you have to be flexible. You can't think your old ways. Sometimes I call it, I gotta zip it. Because years ago, we used to do this. Well, that was years ago. Years ago, we used to. You know, you get sick of hearing it and saying it. So you have to zip it and listen to the youth. Listen to the future of our company
and
our country.
What are you learning from the youth as far as how you can apply it to your business? Obviously, e-commerce. But what are you learning as far as the business world in general? How is it changing?
I'm sorry? What's that? What? Oh, how is it changing with that? Is it, it's, people aren't writing things.
Right.
It's all over, as you say, the phone. One word. It's tech yes, I call it.
Yep.
It's the tech yes word. And I already tried to trademark it, but it's already trademarked. But tech yes is what I'm learning. And whether it's, as we were talking about, what's going on with this Amazon and the new thing they have going out in Seattle, or you have to be progressive. Otherwise, you're going to be the dinosaur.
Yep.
And if you don't try, we've tried a lot and failed. I can tell you, and I still believe in, we have this thing called Power Pack that I still think is going to work for the pet industry. I have three or four things at home. We keep trying. I can tell you, I've got pictures and things in my office because you have to keep trying.
Well, Edison had 1,000 failures before he finally discovered electricity, right? I mean, that's the people who have succeeded more often than not have failed in order to get to that point of success.
And you have to try, and and sometimes it takes, and you try, it doesn't work, and you try again, and it works. But
what are some of the misconceptions in general now that people might have about business owners?
You said the main one. Because you're in business, they think, oh, you're making money. And they don't realize the expenses that are incurred with market changes, with competition, with people that steal your ideas, with trust factors, with people that work with you that you've trusted, that you find out and you see on your videotape that they're not as trustworthy as you think. It's about those things, people in life. It's the added expenses that occur when, as you say, you get a truck that breaks down and needs this, or all of a sudden, you know, you need to put a new compressor in your freezer unit, or all of a sudden, you know, this bill is, oh God, they're going up on our labels, they're going up another 8%. Or I could go on and on and on. And all you have to do as a consumer, if you think you go to the stores and every time you're going to pay that 25 cents a gallon for gasoline, if things in our industry had escalated as much as that, it would be a different world. So I could continue to go on. Business owners know. I was even talking one of my customers, I saw this morning we sell a hospital over in New Britain area. And anyways, he knows somebody that owns one of these fruit stores,
right.
You know. And he was saying how, geez, they just got a bill from the state, an unemployment assessment, because there's so many people out of work that you get it. We don't even want to go with insurance. Everyone out there knows, you know, you get a workman's comp. Our motto, I feel like I'm on a rampage.
You're doing
I need
well.
To breathe. But workman's comp, everyone knows out there, our motto is safety first. And sometimes situations happen out of your control. And these are all factors that can either put you out of business or help you at least stay in business. And so there's many, many factors out there. When you, it's the same way as when you open your door where you live, your apartment house, your mega mansion, your efficiency, your little house, whatever it is, that it's the same thing, only thing add more zeros to it. Because life is a matter of a few more zeros
right.
with it.
The best piece of business advice you were ever given?
I worked with Frank Perdue. I learned more from him. When you were saying what happened when you got out of college,
right.
at that time we were being Perdue's distributor. And I was working Ally Grocer up there in Torrington. So it was a certain transition at time when I was working with Frank Perdue because he was trying to develop our area. And he was a man that he believed in what he did. He would try different things, that the way he advertised, how he... His expression was, it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. And it's funny, I just saw his trailer truck at our plant the other day. And he was influential in realizing he grew up on a farm. The best business advice I had, you just try to believe and work hard and treat people as fair as you can. That's my philosophy. A lot of people... my advice to myself is be true to yourself. You all need to, you need to make a living. You need to support your business and family. But as long as you can be true to yourself, and that's how personally I feel at Miller's and Oma's, that it's who you are.
Now, you mentioned that we all are learning a lot from a younger generation. Things are changing, but still, if somebody was getting into business today, what advice would you give them? Essentially the same thing, what you just said now? What
it's
advice
It's different.
Would you give them?
It's different because they have all these things out there. You want to start a business, go to a Kickstarter. Put on the internet, you want to, you know, from your baseball things, you want to promote Dan's new baseballs. You could do a Kickstarter program. There's so many, there's different opportunities and fundraising and one of my daughters was involved in a company like this, and they would get different people with Kickstarters, they call them, different programs. So if you believe in it, the problem you're going to find, you need twice as much time and twice as much money, no matter if it's starting a business or even we find with our projects. So you got to have deep pockets. And you've got to be in for the long term, and you can't expect all of a sudden that a year or so down the road.
Don't go in with blinders on. Cal, we're out of time.
Whoa, wow. Well, thanks, Dan.
Merry Christmas to you and your
family. You asked me questions that I, you know more about me than I know about myself. But
You're
happy
awesome.
Holiday. Merry happy holidays to everyone. Thank you.
Take care.